So we're looking a little bit more at the book of Revelation, and Revelation is a disclosure of information from God to mankind, and specifically to the Apostle John, from Jesus Christ to John. So I have a few notes at the top here. These were just a few thoughts I've had through the week as I've been studying and thinking about the book of Revelation and Bible studies. That it's important to all of us that there's meaningful content in our study, that we should be studying with the intention of receiving understanding from the Word of God, and that our studies, they should increase deeper in meaning and richer in content as we progress in our studies. The more we learn, the deeper of meaning and the richer content we receive from the Word of God. Especially as we learn how to study and acquire the information. And our lives and conversation should reflect time spent in prayer, study, and meditation of Scripture. And it should be on the end of that an application of the Word. Because without that, we can pray and we can study. But if we don't take the time to meditate on it and apply it to our lives, then we're like... And James says that we're looking into that perfect law of liberty and forgetting what manner of man we were. It's worthless. Mm-hmm. It's just so much information. We can go and read any book and get as much out of it if we don't apply the Word of God.
So you're on page 2 of the study, Revelation, the book.
Precisely.
Thank you.
Yes, I should have said that to start with. We are on page 2. So the book of Revelation is a disclosure of information. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." So that includes the book of Revelation. It includes all scripture. Mm-hmm. Because the book of Revelation is intended to be understood and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. It's important that we know the book of Revelation, that we know what it's saying. God communicated it for a purpose. And the second point here, the scriptures are knowable. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10 through 12, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted.'" So the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to the believer, it has been granted to know. Mm-hmm. "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance," the scripture says. "But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him." Here in Matthew, he says, it's the word of God is knowable. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are understandable. And they're communicated in such a way that it can be understood. So I was looking at Revelation chapter 1 through 3, and that's the main focus of the study, is these three verses. And the point of communication is to make something understood. That's the whole point of communication. So when the book of Revelation was communicated, it wasn't intended to be misunderstood or to be understood in whatever way an individual would decide to interpret it. But God intended to communicate something very specific. So we can't take heed to something that is not understandable. And in the book of Revelation, in these first three verses, we'll read that in a minute, but it tells us to take heed to it. Blessing is a result of taking heed. So in order to be blessed, it is assumed to be understandable. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right. You can't be blessed by something if you're confused.
Exactly. So we're not to guess at it, and only if we get the right answer can we be blessed.
No.
We're not to guess at the Word of God. But God has a specific meaning, and we have to find what that specific meaning is.
Amen.
The word is a legal document, not to be interpreted as we see fit. We do not interpret legal documents to suit our opinion. So any document that we have, any legal document we have, we don't decide that we're not going to pay a certain interest on our house because we decide that there's a lower interest rate right now. We interpret that document, every word of that document, and we always read those documents carefully for what the intended meaning was. When we buy a car, we search the legal document that we purchased that car by, financed that car by. We search that document to make sure that we understand the communication of it so that we're not getting something that we're not asked for, or that we're making the accurate payment according to that legal document. And the Word of God should be taken with no less seriousness. When we buy a house, we take it seriously. Mm-hmm. We look over those documents carefully because we're signing our name to that document.
Right.
And we're making an agreement with that document. And so as believers, we make an agreement with the Word of God. When we say yes to the Lord, we're saying, I surrender. Mm-hmm. It's a submission. We're in humility. We are humbling ourselves before God. And we are committing to His way and His will. And so in order to know His will, we have to search the document. And this document in the book of Revelation is the completion of the covenant that God began with Abraham thousands of years earlier. God started that document and He completed the document with the book of Revelation, the written word. The whole Word of God is a legal document. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so we are accountable to this document. And so to be accountable to the document, God has to communicate it in an understandable way. So we have to assume that even the book of Revelation, there's much symbolic language within the book of Revelation. We have to make the assumption that God intended it to be interpreted in a common way, and not to be interpreted as everybody sees fit, but in a common way, which way would be, as we've spoken so many times, with a grammatical and historical interpretive methods. So when God speaks something specific, whenever He speaks, something very specific is communicated and is intended to be understood by what is spoken.
I get it. I understand.
Okay. You have this look of question in your
eyes.
Well,
I keep wondering what you're going to say next. So
everything else is excluded from that communication. God speaks something. He intended something very specific to be understood by what was spoken. And everything else is excluded from that communication. We can't apply some other meaning to what was intended to be communicated.
So is all of this that you have said because of the many different ways people have tried to understand Revelation? Is that why you're making a point of this?
Precisely.
Okay.
That's why we're making a point of it. And God is holding us accountable. He's very clear on that.
So the importance of studying Revelation and understanding it is the other point. The point that we can understand it, that it's important to understand. Right?
Yes.
And you just understand it the same way you do the rest of the Bible.
Precisely.
Okay.
That you don't apply some other method of interpretation to the book of Revelation.
Then you do.
Because it has all
of
this symbolic language to it.
Right.
You don't decide, just because they can't understand it at first glance, doesn't mean that it can't be understood.
Right.
There's many times throughout Scripture, it's not just the book of Revelation, but you have to study and search and wait, and eventually that understanding comes if you apply the Word of God accurately.
Amen.
But if we approach the Word of God that it can't be understood, the book of Revelation, then we're not going to get anything out of it.
Right.
Or we're going to get some meaning that wasn't intended.
But not to exclude the fact that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 or 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, to someone that is not truly spiritual, the Bible is a closed book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, we certainly can't understand the Word of God without that we are born again.
Mm-hmm.
That new nature and the Spirit of God is dwelling within. There's no way to understand the Word of God. We're going to only misinterpret it because we don't have a heart of humility in seeking the Lord. We definitely have to have that regeneration to understand the Word of God. That's a good point. That's one of the points that I make here in this last comment in that salmon-colored box there, that God created us with a receiver on the same wavelength as God, which at the point of salvation brings us back to that point and ability to understand. We have that receiver placed back into mankind when we get right with God, when we receive salvation. So to that very point that you were making.
So the point that you just made is when man was created, God created Adam and Eve, they were in fellowship with God and in communication with God.
Yes.
And then due to the fall, that communication was severed.
Yes.
And then through salvation, we are now in fellowship with God.
Right.
Okay.
And we now have the ability to receive
from the Lord.
From the Lord, the understanding that He intended to us to receive from the communication. Looking at one more point, if we go off to the right of this document, you'll see definition for this word communication. In Revelation chapter 1, in the New American Standard Bible, in verse 1, he says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John." In the New King James Version, he used the word signified in place of communication. And I believe in also the King James Version that used the word signified. So, a communication signified, if we look at the definition down below, this is the Leonida definition, highlighted in bold, the letters 33-153, make clear, often prediction or foretelling. So the point of communication, he's saying, is to make clear. Often the idea of prediction or foretelling is involved here. And that's what's taking place in this setting of scripture in Revelation. So it's to make clear down in subpoint A from point 2, subpoint A, Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave to him to show. So all of these areas that are highlighted in the midnight blue, they point to the idea of communication. Revelation itself points to that idea. It's a revealing or a disclosure of information. Of Jesus Christ which God gave to show or to reveal, to make known. To his servant saints which must soon take place. He made it known by his sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Testimony of Jesus Christ is another statement of communication there that I didn't highlight. Even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads, which indicates, you know, if you're reading it, he's intended that you get something out of it.
Right.
Reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. So all of these highlights in blue indicate that there is something being communicated and that it's understandable. So the next point is legal terminology. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of even to all that he saw. So John bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. These are legal statements, witness and testimony. And there's a definition here for both of these, which is the Leonida definition again. Witness through first-hand knowledge. So John had first-hand knowledge. He not only saw, but he heard what Jesus Christ was communicating to him. And then the communication was the testimony or the content of what was being spoken by Jesus Christ to John. Going down to the next point, highlighted in green. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the disclosure of the information that John was to bear witness of. Finishing the testimony of the covenant from God to mankind, which began the covenant to Abraham, Jesus gives testimony to John to complete the gut. I have a kind of a speech O here, but that's what I intended to say, to complete God's contract with the nation Israel. and through them to the rest of the nations. So it wasn't just to the nation of Israel, although that's the primary focus. Mm-hmm. But in blessing Israel and the completion of his revelation to the nation of Israel and bringing his dealings back to the nation of Israel, his focus back to the nation of Israel, and through bringing that to completion, his covenant to the nation of Israel, the rest of the world would be blessed. And when John is communicating this, he's communicating it to the churches. Mm-hmm. He's not communicating it just to the Jews. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, "Therefore write the things which you have seen." So that's a command to John. It's an imperative. An imperative is a command. He says, "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which take place after these things." So we're talking about this legal testimony. It was a command to John that he should write what was being communicated to him by Jesus Christ. The next point down, John is disclosing all the information that he saw, indicating that all the information John communicated is to be understood. And I meant to look up a specific verse in Daniel, which I didn't, but we know that if you've read Daniel, there's revelation given to Daniel that Daniel himself sought understanding of, and God said to him by the revelation, it was communicated to him that it was not for him to understand.
And that's in Daniel chapter 12.
Thank you.
And it starts in verse 5, and he's asking, "How long shall it be to the end of the wonders?" And they said, "A time, a times and a half." And then he said, "I understood not. Then I said, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said in verse 9, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end."
Yes. So there was information given to Daniel that it was not to be known to him.
He didn't understand it.
However, when we get to the book of Revelation, all this information has now been revealed. It's the book of Revelation. The book of, what's the word that I used? Disclosure. Next point, subpoint B, the impact of knowing the book of Revelation. It's important for us to understand where history is headed because it significantly changes the way we conduct our lives today. Revelation isn't without meaning to us, even though the focus of Revelation is to the Jews, but the way God is, and clearly God is communicating this to the churches. And the churches are primarily Gentile. And so he's saying that we should understand what's going on in the future, how God is dealing with Israel in the future. And it's important for us to understand how God is dealing with Israel in the future. For us today, it has meaning for us today. It gives us a hope. It gives us, changes the meaning and how we look at many other scriptures if we understand what's going on in the book of Revelation. But it also gives us that hope and looking forward to and how God is dealing in history and how he's going to deal in history. God says it has meaning to our lives. It increases our knowledge of doctrine. It's also instructional, and it teaches us in the way of righteousness. It has all of these different aspects within the book of Revelation. Because the scripture, as we said earlier, that all scripture was given by God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be completely furnished for every good work. And the book of Revelation is the culmination, the climax of God's communication to mankind for the completion of our understanding, so that we have all that we need to know at this point. There's nothing else that we need from God as far as information to live that life. So now the next main point, which is point 4, blessing to those who read and who concentrate on what is being said and put it into practice. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." I love that verse because the first three verses of Revelation give us a picture of what God's intention for us to receive out of the rest of the book. That we are to read it, that we are to concentrate on what's being spoken, and we are to apply it to our lives. So there's great meaning here because God is communicating this, we know that there is great meaning and there is great purpose behind what God is communicating. And it's not just a book that needs to just be forgot about because it's for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But God says it's to add doctrine and understanding to our lives and enrich our lives. And we know it's to enrich our lives because he says there's a blessing that comes with it. In verse 3, blessed is the one who reads. There's a blessing to the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. So there's great blessings from God by taking heed to these words within the book of Revelation. And this is the beginning. This is the starting point. This is the understanding that God wanted us to have when we go forward in our searching of the book of Revelation. This is where we start. We start with the understanding that there are blessings in hearing it, concentrating on what we're hearing, and applying it to our lives. There's, I think, 7 different places in the book of Revelation where blessing is said to be bestowed in different settings. But those could be gone through at another time. Subpoint Roman numeral 2, highlighted in blue, words of the prophecy in verse 2. In verse 3, blessed is he who reads. In verse 2, he says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he says it in verse 3 again, he says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear. So verse 3 is building on verse 2, adding to it.
Right.
He's just saying the same thing in another way. And so as far as concentrating on the word of God, he says, read, hear, take heed to it, pay attention to it, and to apply it to our lives. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks into his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and I was looking at that in other translations, and in the New American Standard Bible, it says, but one who looks intently. And that's the intention of looking, is that there was intent. It's not just a casual glance, but he's intending it to be a real look.
He's scrutinizing.
Yeah, scrutinize it, to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. I love that. Being a doer who acts upon the word of God.
He will be blessed
in his doing. So you see how in Revelation, very similar language is being used in verse 3 as in James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 25. Very similar language. He's saying pretty much the same thing, that we should take heed to it, so that the book of Revelation is of the same value and importance as the book of James. And so I'm making that point because we've talked before, it's common for people to look at the book of Revelation as if it's not really all that valuable. And ministers even say that. They're not going to preach on the book of Revelation because it just draws people out. They're just wanting their senses stimulated as far as they have itching ears. So they're not going to preach on the book of Revelation. Well, that's off doctrinally for sure. But to say that all of God's word should not be preached is certainly off base. But it's a common belief because without you really study and apply yourself to the word, we're not going to get an understanding of what Revelation says. We really have to know what the Old Testament is saying, because so much of Revelation, the symbolism is brought from Old Testament passages in many of the prophetic books. So it takes some work, but it is knowable. So
yeah, and we've had some really good studies in the past on the book of Revelation. Lots of different chapters.
Yeah.
Remember when we were studying about the tabernacle and the whole setup of the tabernacle? We had those drawings and how they correlated with Revelation, the candlesticks and this and the, you know, the lamb and the altar and the mirrors that were...
Right. Yeah, and even this verse that we talked about at the beginning in Revelation 11:19, where he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. We did a study on that where we actually started in verse 19, and looking at the context there, it was pretty clear that verse 19 of chapter 11 should be the beginning of chapter 12.
It was a continuation.
Exactly.
It's a continuation, yeah.
But he brings out that point of the Ark of the Covenant in Revelation 11:19. He's referring back to the covenant that he made with Moses, and he's bringing his attention back to the children of Israel in fulfillment of the covenant that he made with Moses, and it still has meaning.
Well, we know that when the Bible was written, they didn't have chapters. So just the fact the chapter helps us define things, chapter and verse, but it doesn't necessarily split the meaning just because there's a chapter.
A division where it shouldn't be.
Well, and even if it, sometimes it's kind of hard to divide them up.
Right, but here, if you were to divide it, that's where it would be divided, because that's where the point of the communication starts. Mm-hmm. A different point that he's making starts with verse 19 of chapter 11 and then goes on through chapter 12 there.
Okay. Yeah, chapter 3, he's writing to the church in Sardis. Says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works.
What verse are you at, Kevin?
Verse 2.
Chapter 3, verse 2.
Works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then, what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come against you. And then 16:15.
Revelation 16:15.
Yeah. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. So there's still, plenty in the book of Revelation that is understandable, that if we do apply it, will help us receive the rest of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And there's quite a bit in the book of Revelation, like you just read, that are cautions to hear and do the word.
Right.
Believe the word.
Yeah, and there's that other verse that says, let the bride say, come.
Mm-hmm.
And let him that is athirst say, come.
And that whosoever will.
Yeah. Be in anticipation.
Right.
Expecting and desiring it.
Yeah, there's an implication, like you said, that earnest desiring effort has to be put forth.
Right.
That earnest looking that we were talking about,
that
it just implies that there's an effort that has to be put forth. And it's not going to come to us. The understanding of the Word of God doesn't come just by a casual glance.
Right.
But it's a covenant. And there's legal language in there, and we can search out that covenant. It's a large covenant. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation. And there's much in Old Testament prophecies that speak to the book of Revelation. And in understanding those Old Testament prophecies, which it requires diligent effort.
Mm-hmm.
To search all those things out and to get that understanding of what's being communicated.
That verse that you were just quoting, Kevin, this is Revelation 22, verse 16. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Yeah, that's good.
Let him that hears, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
Wow.
And out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. So,
makes you perk your ears up.
Well, right.
I would be almost fearful to say that the book of Revelation, we shouldn't touch it.
That's yeah.
Because
important.
You
it's
talk about taking
like
away.
Taking it away.
Yeah. That's not just taking away some of the words of the Bruce prophecy. That's throwing the whole thing out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so when you read it, you just have to realize that whoever would say such a thing hasn't even read through
it. Right.
They haven't done a first look, let alone a study.
Right, if they would just read that verse alone, they would say, maybe I better...
If you read the whole Bible and leave out the book of Revelation, what's the point of reading any of it?
Right,
Revelation is the culmination. Yeah. It's the goal. It's the purpose that God has in mind.
It's almost like saying, you know, when you say that let's stick with what's important for us today, that the book of Revelations is not understandable.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like saying, let's take our focus off the goal.
And let's just live for today.
Right. We don't want to win the game, right? Exactly.
Let's eat, drink, and be merry.
Or tomorrow we die.
Well, you know, I mean, it is. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not stay focused on something.
No. Yeah.
Let's not focus on a goal.
Right. The hope that we have.
Yeah. Let's not focus on the hope.
Which is an anchor to the soul.
Right.
Let's not focus on that anchor in the soul.
Okay. That anchor wears us down.
Well, I think if someone were to say that, they wouldn't really understand.
No, they're not really thinking it through when they say it.
No. Yeah.
But just reading that, mm-hmm. as last verses, praise the Lord.
Yes, good way to cap off this particular study.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. God's word is good. You know, one other thing is I don't really want to study the Word of God to know, so I can have my intellect stimulated. Or
right.
I want to know it because I want to know it for my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me to know, to be aware, so I can live close to the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to know what God wants me to know.
Right, because it says there is rich, deep meaning mm-hmm. for our lives today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the church age, mm-hmm. by understanding what God has intended for the future.
Right.
How God is taking history. What God is driving history towards.
There's another verse, Revelations 22, verse 10. He says, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book."
Mm.
So in other words, it isn't sealed. It is open.
Right. There you go.
That's good. Yeah, where's Daniel?
It was sealed up till the time of the end.
Right.
But with him, he says, don't seal it. Mm-hmm. And remember when John wept.
For the time is near.
Yeah. But remember when John wept?
Yeah.
And
because
he said,
no one found
open the seal.
Worthy to open the seal.
But they said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book.
Wow. That's good.
So
that's
it's
really
open.
Good. Prevailed to open it.
Yes.
Right. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we will know and understand.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus came in the first place, to reveal who God was and God's intentions and his plan and his purpose for mankind.
To bear witness, yes.
And then he brings it to completion
mm-hmm.
when he comes to John and completes the document
mm-hmm.
in the book of Revelation. But these first few verses, and looking at the verses at the end that you guys were mentioning, sets a stage for the entire book of Revelation,
mm-hmm.
that it is knowable, it's understandable,
right.
and it was intended to be understood so that we could be blessed,
mm-hmm.
and so that we can be a blessing,
right.
literally.
Yeah.